Our reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. This is the word of the Lord.
Brilliant. Now then, it's Easter day, and we're here to celebrate that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Good, good. So, what do you think is the greatest, most important day of the year? Easter Day. Really? Would Easter Day be Easter Day without Good Friday? So is Good Friday the best day of the year? You don't know, do you? Well, you see, the thing is that they are both inextricably linked together. You can't possibly have Good Friday without Easter Sunday. Otherwise, it would just be a famous teacher that died on a cross. And you can't have Easter Day without Good Friday. Otherwise, it would be something that looked like a bit of a magic, maybe? Or perhaps something unusual, someone coming back from the dead? Good Friday and Easter Sunday are linked together, and you can't have one without the other. Today, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Jesus overcoming death and sin. Today, we celebrate that Jesus is victorious over sin and death. The grave could not hold him, and he came back to life. The power of sin was broken because Jesus had come back from the dead. So I thought I'd remind us of the story. You see, right at the beginning, God created a beautiful, perfect world. Mountains, trees, grass, animals, birds, seas, rivers, and streams with water. And it tasted good, and it was perfect. And he placed two people in his world. And God said, "You can do whatever you like, but you just cannot touch this tree or eat the fruit from this tree." And Adam and Eve were happy in the garden, drinking the water and eating the fruit. And then one day they decided to go eat the fruit off the tree that God said, "You cannot touch." Because they felt, "We know better than God. We're going to do what God said we shouldn't do because we think we know better." And so they ate from the tree and they were removed from the garden. They had disobeyed God, and so they were separated from God and removed from the garden. They had sinned. If we turn to my next slide. You see, everyone here is born with this condition. What's in it for me? It's a condition that means that all of us will die. What's in it for me is what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden when they thought, "God told us not to eat this, but we know better. We'll do our own thing and we'll eat this apple." And they did, And the Bible called that sin. Now, if we want to know what sin is, next slide, Simon. Sin is very simply I in the middle. It's when I become the center of my world, not God. It's when I think I know better than God, when I think I know what I need, what I want, what makes me feel good, what makes me feel special, what makes me feel important, what puts me at the center of the world, rather than God on his throne where he belongs, in control, ruling the world and seeing how things should be. The thing is that when we thought that we know best, we're in danger of turning the perfect, clear, crystal waters murky. Each time we think, I know better than God. Each time I think about what's going to make me feel good rather than God or somebody else, we're starting to pollute things and make things dirty. The sin gets in the way. It turns things this kind of crimson red. You might be able to see in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 1, God talks about our sin being as scarlet or as crimson, red. And red reminds us of blood or of anger. And so when we continue to sin, when we continue to put yourself at the center of your world, everything goes red and dark. We think that we know better than God. We think we're at the center of the world and we live in disobedience. So how do we deal with this sin that gets in the way? Well, there's all kinds of stuff that we can do. Some of us feel like the way to do this is by doing as many good deeds as we possibly can to try and outweigh all the nasty stuff that we do that gets in the way. And as we do, we recognize that we can't make any difference. We can't outweigh all the bad stuff we've done with good stuff. It just goes black. And it causes a complete barrier between us and God, and we can no longer see God because our sin has got in the way and has formed a barrier between us and God. Maybe we try to follow a bunch of commandments or rules to try and prove to God that we're not sinful. But we can't follow them perfectly. With people who are disobedient because we've got this condition called, what's in it for me? And so we sin. Not just the big sins that we read about in the Ten Commandments, but it's our attitude of our heart. It's the thinking and the thoughts in our minds. When someone cuts us up on the road and you swear something under your breath. Or the time that someone says something mean and nasty about you and you hear about it and it makes you angry with that person. You want to hit them or you want to hurt them because they've dissed you. We all have these thoughts, these attitudes in our hearts that get in the way. And even when we're trying to do good stuff, there's a danger that we can feel pride and arrogant because we've done such a good job. We've served God in so many ways. I've given up so much time serving God. And all of a sudden, there's an attitude of pride and arrogance that sneaked into our hearts. We have all sinned. We are all sinful. We all suffer from this, what's in it for me? Life becomes polluted. There's a barrier between us and God. And there is only one person that can save us from the sin in our lives. There is nothing that any of you here can do to save yourself from your sin. There is nothing that any of you here can do to put yourself right with God, to remove the barrier that is between you and him because of the sinful stuff in your life. And the truth is, that it's all about the cross. It's all about what happened on Good Friday. When Jesus died on the cross, he took your place and paid the price for your sin. Romans 3 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Therefore, whatever comes as a result of your sinfulness is always going to end in death and separation from God. And the only way we can deal with our sin is recognizing what Christ did for us on the cross. When he took our place, he paid the price for our sin. He died our death so that you and I do not have to go there. We do not have to die and be separated from God. And so what happened on Good Friday is that when Jesus died on the cross, he took all of our guilt and our sin and our shame. That's what happened on Good Friday. But on Easter Sunday, Jesus came back from the dead and said, "Sin no longer has any hold over me. I have conquered sin and I have conquered death because I have come back to life." That, people, is why we celebrate today. Because Jesus died on Good Friday and came back to life on Easter Sunday. We can't have one without the other. You and I are now free because of Christ's death on the cross. We are forgiven. We are free. I wonder if there is anyone here this morning who doesn't yet know or hasn't yet experienced that freedom that Christ offers because of the death he paid on the cross for you. Jesus died in our place and he wants you to know and experience that freedom personally today. Now, if you know that that's you and you've not yet really received that forgiveness, that you've not really experienced that freedom that Christ offers you today, my invitation is to you is to come and see me at the back of church in the next song that we sing and just say, "I'd like to know more about this invitation to freedom and forgiveness." And I'll pray with you and talk with you at the back. Jesus rose from death. The tomb could not hold him. Death has lost its sting. Sin has been broken, and that you and I are free because the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. So if that's you, if you know that God's knocking on your door this morning to say, "Come to me, come and speak to me," at the back of church in the next song.